Good morning, everybody. Why don't we pray and we can start worship. Dear God, I just thank you for being in this place this morning, Lord. I thank you for wanting to connect with us and wanting to draw close to us, Lord. I pray that our hearts would be open to you, that our minds would not be on anything else but you, God, and that we would be able to experience you in a way that we never have before, Lord. Not that there's anything different about today, but we know that you're here, God, and we know that you are a creator, that you can create new things. And so this morning we ask that you would come and you would create a new experience, that you would create new memories, God, that we would begin to know you in a deeper way, that we'd begin to see you in a way we've never seen you before, Lord. Not because we're good, but because you're good, God. We don't deserve it, God, but we ask because of your grace. We know that you're full of grace. We know that you're full of love. So we ask that you would come and be with us, God. We want you here more than anything else in this world. So we pray that you would come. Have your way, God. We love you. We praise you. We thank you, God. In your name I pray. Amen.
Have your way. Oh, have Because you're welcomed in this place. You're welcomed in this place. You're welcomed in this place. God, you're welcomed in this place. You're welcomed in this place. You're welcomed in this place.
If I, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Are you Lord? Sing, you give life. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones
the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Sing the atmosphere. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love surrounds us. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence, and the evidence is all around, and the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow. Fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love surrounds us. Overflow, overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Yeah. Spirit of God, fall fresh on. With your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds
morning. Finished Malachi, so naturally I'm in Revelation now. I'm going to be reading a little bit from chapter 4. But first, we have a prayer retreat coming up, because if there's one thing that we always need, it's prayer. There's so much power in it. And it's coming up Friday, March 8th through Sunday, March 10th. If you came to the youth retreat we had a while ago to the same place, we don't know exactly how much it'll be yet. It depends on how many people sign up, so let us know as soon as possible if you're interested in going. It's just going to be a retreat full of prayer and full of power. So in Revelation chapter 4, it talks about the throne room of heaven. And John sees God there. He sees this throne. And from verse 3, he says, "And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And in studying this, there were some things that came to my attention that just I'd never noticed before, never even considered. And that's why I love studying his word so much, that when you look in just those few verses, that's not even the whole description, just those few verses, it says there was a rainbow around the throne. What was the symbol of God's covenant with Noah? It was a rainbow, right? In front of his throne are 24 thrones with elders sitting there crowned. What was the sign of, or what was his covenant with David? What did he say? I will establish your throne forever. When he gave his covenant with Moses, what was the mountain like? Lightnings, thunderings, voices, right? The voice of God. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. When he made his covenant with Abraham, what was it that passed through the animals? It was a lamp and an oven, right? Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne. I think sometimes we are held back from giving everything we can because we may not recognize or we may not believe fully that God is going to follow through on his promise. We know it. Like, we've heard promises of provision. We've heard promises of protection, that he will take care of us, that he will heal us, he will be with us, he will restore to us, and we'll never lose anything by giving to him. But sometimes we're not sure if he'll really remember that, if it's that important to him. If my life, if he meant me, you know, if I'm significant enough for God to remember. Oftentimes in the Bible, his people will set something up to remember, right? To make a remembrance for something, to remind them of something significant that happened. God doesn't need any reminders, and yet his throne room is surrounded and filled with things that remind him of his promises. There's a rainbow there, there's lightnings and thunderings, there are thrones, there's lamps of fire, all indicative of promises that he's made to his people through the ages. So even though he doesn't need a reminder, he surrounds himself with it anyway. Things that anywhere he looks around, he'll recognize, huh, that reminds me of when I made this promise. That reminds me of when I made this promise. It's all around him. He's constantly looking at it. So when I come and I give, I don't need to worry about whether God will remember me, whether God is looking on this. He's got my name in his book. He's got my name on his hand. He will never forget me, and he'll never leave me dry. So I can come and give with a full heart. I can come and give with complete desire to bless God and to know for sure that his promises are true, that he remembers me and he will never leave me.
break me apart, I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. And all I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, and I give you my life. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. May fail, but my God, you never will. And I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. And I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My God, you sing that again. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. And my flesh may fail, but my God, you never trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my
Good morning. How's everyone today?
Great.
Good. I hope you guys brought your Bibles with you. Did you bring a Bible? Nobody brings their Bible to church. Got phone, that's right. Then open those phones up and don't text. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Judges, chapter 6 this morning. We're deviating a bit from John, probably back next time, but let me quickly give you the backstory, and then we'll read this passage together, and then we'll pray, okay? You guys doing okay? I just had this uneasiness in my heart as I've been studying and reading and preparing, and especially this morning. And I wasn't sure if that was something personal or something that many of us may be experiencing and going through. And so the thought that came to mind is whenever you are going through a difficult and challenging time, look to the name of the Lord. Yes? Proverbs, I believe it's 8 and 10 or 18 and 10, one of them. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run therein and find. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Whenever my heart is troubled, David said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I want to run to the place where I can find refuge. I want to run to the place where I can find shelter. I run to the place where I can find safety and security and assurance and reassurance of who God is and who I am to him. And so I guess that's the backdrop of what we're going to be sharing a little bit this morning. Judges chapter 6. We're going to read the first 27 verses. I'm reading from the New King James. It's a little long, but stay with me. Anybody here? Okay. All right. Judges chapter 6. It says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves dens of caves and strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, the Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. And they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they would come up in their with their livestock in their tents, coming up as numerous as locusts, both they and their camels were without number. And they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of those who oppressed you, and drove them and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours. You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if I have now found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that that it is you who talk to me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them to him. The angel of God then said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock. And pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put out his end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And the fire rose from the rock and consumed the meat with the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that it was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord that is called the Lord is Peace, or Jehovah Shalom. Till this day, it is in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your presence among us. We thank you because your presence is tangible here. You said, call unto me and I will answer you. You said, seek me and you will find me. And so we come seeking you this morning. We come pursuing you this morning. You said that your name is a strong tower. The righteous run therein and find safety. We find shelter in you. We find peace in you. We find security in you. So we call on your name this morning, Lord God, to come visit each of us in our hearts, each of us in our lives, each of us in our unique circumstances. And speak to us. Speak a word of comfort. Speak a word of encouragement. Speak a word of affirmation to us, Lord God. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Allow me to read to you a few of the names of the Lord, and then we'll jump into this morning's study. The Lord is known by several names. Let me just read to you just a few of them here. He's known as El Shaddai, which means the Lord God Almighty. He's known as El Elyon, which is the God Most High. He's known as Adonai, which is Lord and Master. He's known as Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord my banner. He's known as Jehovah Ra, which is the Lord my shepherd, or Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. He's known as Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. He's known as Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Makadishkom, that's a tough one to say. Makadishkom, which means the Lord who sanctifies you. The Lord who sanctifies you. He's known as El Olam, which is the everlasting God. He's known as Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. He's known as Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. And God has always wanted to make his name known to us as his people. He's wanted to make his name known to us as his people by way of revelation to introduce who he is by virtue of our relationship with him. But he didn't make it known all at once. He made his name known in stages and throughout the ages, beginning way back in the days of our early fathers. And with each person, he would make himself known in a unique and a different kind of way. And when I was looking for Jehovah peace or Yahweh peace, Jehovah Shalom, I was I was astonished at the fact that it appeared here in this chapter, in the book of Judges in chapter 6. Because here in Judges chapter 6, the people of Israel, after they had been in Egypt for 400 years, Moses went down and delivered them and brought them up out of Egypt, yes? And then Joshua eventually brought them into the promised land after their 40 years of wandering in the desert. But what happened was, during the days of the judges, when there was no king in Israel, each person did what was right in their own eyes. Each person did what they wanted to do. No one had a king. No one told them what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong. They each did whatever they wanted to do. And so when they were seeking the Lord, they had peace. They had provision. They had protection. They had the presence of God there. But when they wandered away from God, when each person decided to do things their own way, the Lord would allow enemies to come into the camp and overtake the people of Israel and take what belonged to them. And this happened again and again and again. Each time they would do so, they would cry out to God when they were so oppressed, and God would send them a deliverer and bring them out from their bondage and give them freedom once again. But after they enjoyed freedom for a little while, they would fall back into sin and rebellion against God. And so God would allow another nation to come and oppress them. And this cycle repeats over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament, throughout the history of Israel. In this particular case, they had wandered again from the Lord here in chapter 6, and they cried out to God, and the Lord sent them a prophet who said to them, I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians. I told you not to fear the gods of the people, but you did not hear or obey my voice. He could have just left them there, and he should have just left them there, because he was like, you know what? I told you once, I told you twice, I told you 100 times, kind of sounds like us talking to our children. If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times, don't do this, but you keep doing this and you keep falling into the same trap over and over again, so I'm not going to deliver you anymore. But it says they cried out to the Lord, and what did God do? He has compassion on us, yeah? God has compassion on us, and he deals with us. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about Jehovah Shalom. And whenever I use the word few minutes, it means nothing, just so we are clear. Yahweh Shalom, or Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The Lord is our peace and our rest. And these attributes didn't come in a day when things were going good. They came in a day when things were going difficult and challenging, as it is possibly this day for you here. And you would think that if God was going to introduce himself as the God of peace, he would do it during a time of peace. Maybe. Or with a peaceful kind of person. Maybe, like Abraham or Isaac. Isaac is a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. Or maybe with Joseph. He would reveal himself to Joseph as the God of peace. But he didn't do any of that at that time. He comes here in a time where they are in the most amount of turmoil and oppressed. And they are surrounded, besieged by an army. And this is how armies fought back in the old days. They would surround the city and not allow you to enter or to exit. And therefore, all the supplies that you had within eventually would run out, and you would eventually starve. You would eventually starve. But here it says that the Lord appeared to a young man named Gideon. So I want to talk to you first and foremost about the God of, or the peace of restoration. The peace of, or the peace for restoration. The Lord appears to this young man, Gideon, says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And I wonder why he didn't call him by his name. I wonder why he didn't say, the Lord is with you, Gideon. His name is Gideon, yes? He didn't say, the Lord is with you, son of so-and-so. No, he said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Consider this. I think perhaps it was because Gideon had already associated his name with weakness. Associated his name with failure. Associated his name with frustration and with lack. And so he doesn't, the angel of the Lord, which by the way is a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. This is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord speaking to his people because he is the everlasting. Jesus didn't just appear in Bethlehem one day. He is the everlasting from everlasting. And so here he appears. He's speaking to this young man, and he's talking to him. He says, the Lord is with you. You are a mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor? Wait, we are the smallest clan in Israel, and I am the youngest in my father's house. He's saying, that's exactly why I chose you. God has no desire to look at those who are strong and those who have it together to say, I want to use you because you have it all together. He's saying, I'm looking at those who are struggling the most, and I'm pointing my finger to you, and I'm saying, I want to use that weakness in your life. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And restoration, my friends, listen, it's a process, but it begins with a word of peace. It begins with a word of peace. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. How many times did Israel forsake God and serve idols? How many times did they forsake God and run after other things? And yet we see the angel of the Lord here sitting under an oak tree, which is a symbol of strength with deep roots. An oak tree. Have you ever seen an oak tree? An oak tree is a big, big, huge, huge old tree. And it's a picture of sustaining power. It's a picture of strength, which shows here that he is in a peaceful state. The angel of the Lord is in a peaceful state. And so suddenly he appears to Gideon, where Gideon before could not see him. Could not see him. And suddenly he appears, which means he has been there the entire time. The Lord was there the entire time. Gideon just couldn't see him. This happened again with Elijah. When Elijah was getting ready, being taken up by the Lord in the chariot of fire, it says suddenly the chariots appeared. Suddenly it appeared. It was there the whole time. He just couldn't see it. Do you know that we are surrounded by angels right now? We say it so casually. There are angels. The atmosphere is changing now. Angels are present around us right now. We just, with our physical eyes, we can't see them because God doesn't want us to be so in awe with angelic beings. Not those angels. Angelic beings from heaven, I meant to say. He doesn't want us to be focused on these ginormous beings, these great beings of light. He wants us to be focused on himself, but they are all around us right now. The Lord has surrounded us with his goodness and with his protection. And he begins the restoring process. By his sovereign grace, God can bring out of our failures, even out of our sins. God is able to do some amazing things, even when we have found a place of frustration, when we found a place of weakness, when we have ourselves continued to go down the wrong path. God is still able to use those things for his glory time and time again. J. Stuart Holden tells of an old Scottish mansion close to where he had a summer home, where the walls of one room was filled with sketches made by distinguished artists. And the practice began after a pitcher of soda was once accidentally spilled on a freshly decorated wall and left an unsightly stain. At the time, a noted artist, Lord Landseer, was a guest in the house, and one day when the family went out, he stayed behind, and with a few masterful strokes, a piece of charcoal, the ugly spot became a beautiful waterfall, bordered by trees and wildlife. He turned that disfigured wall into a most successful depiction of Highland life. What a picture of what God is able to do with the mess that we make. Here's some soda that was thrown on a wall, and the wall looks like it's completely damaged. And a gifted artist, is able to take a piece of coal, a charcoal, and be able to brush against the wall there with the masterful strokes and make something that is absolutely beautiful out of something that was absolutely a mess. That's exactly what God does in your life and in my life. He takes the mess that we have made, and he makes something masterful out of it that other people can now benefit from, because you and I can go and declare to people, I was blind, but now I see. I was in a mess, but God brought me out of the mess. Here's where I used to be, but here's where I am right now, because the hand of the Master has been on my life. Is there anybody in the house today? He restores my soul, Psalm 23:3 says. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He says in Isaiah 43:25, do you mind if I share some scripture with you? I'm going to anyway, but I'm just checking. Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more. Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. I have bought you back. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and I will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Two more. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you, who pardons sins and forgives transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. You delight to show mercy. And of course, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. No, I think it's most. I feel like it's most. Actually, I feel like it's some. Possibly, I feel like it's just that he cleanses from a few of my unrighteousness, but there's some heavy ones. There's some heavy ones that he really can't touch. No. The Bible says he cleanses from all unrighteousness, and he does so for his name's sake. And then there's peace in worship. There's peace in worship. So Gideon there goes and he offers his very best to God, and he offers bread and he offers meat. This was during a time of famine. And even when he didn't know how to offer the sacrifice, the Lord was not angry with him. As a matter of fact, he offered his offering in a boiling pot. He took the meat and he boiled it, and he was going to offer that to the Lord. The Lord wasn't angry, because that was not a proper way to offer something to God. But he said, I want you to take the meat and I want you to put it on the rock. I'm going to overlook the fact that you don't know some things. You don't know how to worship. You don't know how to pray. You don't know how to present. You don't know how to minister. You don't know how to do. I'm going to overlook those things, and I'm going to find the good that you do have. Let's take the meat. I'll take the meat that you are offering to me. I want you to put that on this rock, and I will touch the meat with the end of my staff, and fire consumed the offering, and the fire consumed, meaning that God accepted the offering. He's saying, I accept what you're offering me, so long as you're offering it to me with all your desire, because you're doing the very best that you know how to do. So long as you're giving me everything, I will accept that from you. I will take that from you. Isn't that good news? A lot of us don't know how to pray. We don't know how to minister. We don't know how to read the word. We don't know how to do many, many things, but we do want to offer ourselves to God. And so long as we are willing to offer ourselves to God, he's saying, I will take the good that you are offering it, and I will teach you the rest as time goes on, so long as you stay with me and stick with me. This is good news. This is compassion. This is compassion. It's kind of like when children are trying to prepare a meal for their parents and they have no idea what they're doing. And they present you with a plate, with a dish, with a sandwich, or it resembles a sandwich or something like that. And you smile. Why? Because they did their very best. And you eat it. There's jelly beans in my sandwich, but I'm going to eat it. Peanut butter and chips and jelly and all that, it doesn't really work inside. That's what they like. It's not what I like. It's what they like. But they're offering it to me, and so I'm going to accept what they're offering me. Why? Because they are my children, and they're doing the very best that they can. If they had any ill will, then I would bring correction, but they don't have any ill will. They're doing the very best that they can. Listen, if you are in a place where you don't have a lot of experience, you don't have a lot of knowledge, you don't have a lot of anything, really, but you're offering your very best to God, God accepts it, and he receives it gladly and willingly. This is not a pass for you to continue in ignorance. But it is an acknowledgement that God does accept you right where you are. whatever expression it is, offer it to God. Then there was peace. Peace on the altar. Peace on the altar. The Lord instructed Gideon to break down the altar. We didn't have time to read the entire chapter, but when you go back, read chapter 6, 7, and 8 of the book of Judges, where God instructs Gideon to break down the altar. And although Gideon was threatened by the men in the town, God protected him as he destroyed the altar. There was an altar there that was built to Baal. Baal was the pagan god that the people of the land would worship. And God said, I'm warning you, do not worship this pagan god. And you know what the people did? They worshiped that pagan god, and they built an altar for that pagan god. And the Lord is saying, I am with you. I am going to bless you. I'm going to accept your offering. But now that I've accepted your offering, I don't want you to continue that down the same path that brought you into this place in the first place. What I want to do now is I want to bring some correction. I want to cause there to be a little bit of a cleaning of a house, if you will, a cleansing, if you will, so that you don't find yourself in the same place again. Because if you're going to find victory out there over your enemies, first you got to find victory in here. What's that? You want peace. You want peace. You want peace around you. Yes. You want provision around you. Yes. You want God to lead you and to guide you and to give you the victory over your enemies. Yes. First, you got to clean house on the inside. Because I can't point the finger this way until I first have looked this way. I can't have victory out there unless I first have victory in here. So what do you want, Lord? I want you to destroy that altar. I want you to tear it down altogether. And Gideon was afraid to destroy that altar. He said, I'm not going to do it during the daytime. I will do it at night. So he destroyed it at night. And when the men woke up in the morning, they said, who destroyed the altar? They said, Gideon did it. They said, bring him out here so we can kill him. His father steps in and saves the day. He says, you're not going to kill him. If Baal is really a god, Baal will save himself. Am I talking too fast? No, I'm okay. Baal will save himself, and he was saved from that time moving forward before the Lord used him in the battle, which we'll talk about here in just a brief moment. But he had to destroy the altar. He had to destroy the altar. God, if you appeared to him from heaven and you accepted his sacrifice and you created this little miracle where you had this fire come from heaven and consume the, why couldn't you destroy the altar, Lord? Why do you want him to destroy the altar? Because he built it. The things that we've built, the things that we've taken ourselves, the things that our hands have constructed ourselves, the friendships that we have formed ourselves, the habits, the characteristics, the attitudes that we have fashioned ourselves, God is not going to destroy that from our lives. He's not going to, if we want to hold on to it, we can. He gives us the freedom to. We just want to have the victory. And he says, if you want the victory in your life, if you want to move forward in your life, then I want you to go and I want you to destroy whatever it is that you are worshiping that is not me. Whatever idol that you have in your life that is not me, I want you to destroy. And so this might be a good time for us to think and consider. What idol do I have in my life right now? What is it that I have in my life that I'm putting in preference before God? What habit, what friendship, what relationship, what issue do I have in my life right now that is hindering my walk with God, from God being able to intervene in my life? Is anybody here? Yes. He'll give you the strength to do it, but you've got to be willing to do it. So ask yourself, what is the issue? What is the hindrance? What is the problem? What is the idol that I have in my life that needs to be destroyed? Because it needs to be destroyed. Because listen, you won't find victory in your life with that idol still at home. It has to go. It has to go. But when it goes, which brings us to the heart of our message this morning, are you ready? We need to pray again. Are you ready? All right. Power and victory over the enemy. Power and victory over the enemy. As long as, for those of us who are willing, for those of us who are willing to cast down those idols and cast down those altars, God says there is victory that is coming. The Lord knows that Gideon is afraid. So Gideon says, Lord, I'm going to put a fleece out there. I'm going to put a sign out there. I'm going to put a piece of wool on the floor. And if the piece of wool is wet and everything around it is dry, then I'll know that it's you that is speaking to me. So he wakes up the next morning. The whole ground is dry. The piece of wool is wet, and he's able to wring it out and fill an entire bowl full of water. He says, okay, Lord, don't be angry with me. Let's try this one more time. I want everything around it to be wet, and this piece of wool, dry. He woke up the next morning, and it was exactly as it happened. Do you think that solved all of his problems as far as fear is concerned? He's still afraid. The Bible says they were as numerous as locusts. Have you ever seen locusts? As numerous as, meaning they were beyond number. The people that were against them were without number, and their animals were without number. How many people was Gideon able to muster to fight against the armies? Before the 300, going back. 32,000 men. 32,000. Let's just assume that the enemy had 100,000 people. It was more than that. Significantly more than that. But let's just assume it was 100,000 people. The odds right now are 3-1. One man would have to fight three men. Those are not good odds. If I have to fight one person, I might win, I might lose. If I have to fight two people, chances are I might lose. If I have to fight three people, I'm probably going to lose. God says to him, the people that are with you are too many. Excuse me? Tell them, whoever's afraid, go home. He turns around, he was like, whoever's afraid, go home. Please don't go home. 22,000 go home. I have 10,000 people left. I have 10,000 people left. Now my odds, if there's 100,000 army, my odds are 1 to 10. One man is going to fight 10 guys at one time. You know what God says? There's too many people with you. You got to be kidding. All because this is a spiritual war. You can't count on you. You can't count on your strength. You can't count on your wisdom. You can't count on your experience or your resources to get through this battle. You got to rely on me. The people that are with you are still too many. Here's what I want you to do. Take them down to where the water is, and I'm going to divide them out for you. I'm going to separate those that I want to go to war versus those that I don't want to go to war. It says, he took them down to the water, and those that began to take the water in their hand with a cup and take it to their mouth and lap, as a dog would there, I want you to separate those for me, and everyone else who digs their face into the water and drinks, send them home. 10,000 go down to the water. 9,700 men stick their face in the water and start gulping away. 300 take the water in the hand as they keep their eyes up and bring their hand to their mouth to drink the water. God says, those are the ones that I want. Those who have their eyes looking up. Those who are not looking at themselves or looking to anything else, but those who have their eyes looking towards heaven. I lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I want to use them. Okay, Lord, how do you want to use them? 300 against maybe 100,000, 200,000 men. How is this possibly going to happen? He says, I don't want you to worry. Are you still scared? He says, yeah, Lord, I'm scared. He says, okay, send your servant down to the camp of the Midianites, and I want him to overhear what they're saying. He's like, God, I am so scared right now. 300 men are going to fight 100,000, 200,000, half a million. I have no idea. How scared are you? He's like, I'm terrified. Okay, send your servant down to the camp of the Midianites, and I want your servant to hear what they're going to say. And the servant ends up overhearing two men talking together, and one of them says, I've had a dream last night. And in my dream, this huge wheat barley came rolling into the camp and destroyed the entire Midianite army. And so the companion says, surely that is Gideon, the man of Israel, who's going to destroy the Midianites. He comes back and he's like, okay, God, you've got this. Clearly you've got this. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? How sharp should I sharpen my sword? He's like, you're not even going to use your sword. You're not going to use my what? You're not going to use your own sword. The Lord himself has a sword. The Lord himself has a sword. What does that sword look like? He says it doesn't look like anything at all as far as you're concerned. All I want you to do is I want you to have three things. Are you ready? Number one, I want you to have a trumpet in your right hand. A trumpet? Because I want you to shout praise. I want you to shout praise. I want you to shout praise. When I tell you to blow the trumpet, you're going to blow the trumpet. The first thing you're going to have is a what? Good job, class. You're going to have a trumpet. The second thing is you're going to have a jar of clay, a clay vessel, an earthen vessel. And on the inside of the earthen vessel, you're going to put a light inside the earthen vessel. And we're going to divide up into three camps, 100, 100, and 100. And here's what we're going to do. When I tell you to, I want you to break the earthen vessel. So all you're going to have is just the light in one hand, and you're going to blow the trumpet with your right hand. That's it? Yeah. Because you and I are called earthen vessels. We are broken and earthen vessels. And the more broken we are before the Lord, the more usable we are. Oh, my God. The more broken we are before God, the more usable we are before God. Some of us are lamenting how broken we are. Listen, God wants to use that level of brokenness, but not brokenness so that you can lament over your weak state, but brokenness before the Lord where you're saying, God, I am pliable in your presence. You can do whatever you want to do. Am I talking to myself this morning? You can do whatever you want to do in my life. I am utterly broken before you, and I'm ready to be used by you the way that you desire to use me, any way you see pleased. So they broke the jars. They have the light. They blow the trumpet. And the Bible says, and the Lord routed the armies of the Midianites. Not one sword. Not one. Not one. Not a single one. What are you doing, Lord? I'm showing you something. I'm showing you that as long as you do what I tell you to do, I fight your battle. So long as you submit to me and are walking in obedience with me, I fight your battles for you. What do you want me to do, Lord? Just humble yourself before me. And I want you to praise and I want you to worship. Praise and worship? Yeah, praise and worship. I want you to praise and worship because this is where the victory is found. Do you remember when Joshua was encircling the walls of Jericho? He said the first people that are going to walk in the front, the very, very front, are going to be the priests, and they're going to have trumpets, and they're going to blow the trumpets as they are marching forward. And when you hear the sound of the trumpets, I want you to shout. Shout why? Shout a praise unto God, because he is bringing about the victory. He is bringing about the glory. He is bringing about what you need in your life. I bring those walls down. Listen, there are walls in your life. There are enemies in your life that you don't know how you are going to tackle. You don't know how you're going to confront and defeat. But God is saying, I am the one that does this on your behalf. If ye will but submit to me. I don't want you to live in anxiety. I don't want you to live in distress. I don't want you to live in fear. I am the God of peace. Jehovah peace. Jehovah shalom. Yahweh shalom is here, and he appears at the time that you least expect him. At the time you need him the most. For those of us who are in turmoil on the inside and we're trying to see things from a physical perspective, an earthly perspective, we're looking around, we're counting, and we're trying to figure things out. God is saying, please stop. Please stop doing that. Please stop. Because I already have it all taken care of. I already have it all taken care of. What I want you to do is rest and trust in me in the process, because I am the God, your peace. I bring your enemies before your foot, before you as your footstool. I am the Lord who brings you all that you need in your life, because I am the master of your life, and I will do things that will blow your mind if you will but trust me. Listen, few people experience victory in their walk with God. Few people. Why is that? Why is that? Because we want to continue living in the realm of the tangible, in the realm of things that we can see, taste, hear, and see. God wants us to move beyond that, to begin to close our eyes and say, Lord, I want to begin living in the spiritual realm. I want to begin living in the supernatural realm. because I do sense that the atmosphere is changing, and I do sense that you are doing something in my life, and you're calling me to a different place, not to live in the same place I used to live before, but you're calling me to a higher level, a higher place, a higher plane, a place of fellowship with you, a place of intimacy with you, because you haven't been angry with me, but you've been looking, you've been watching, you've been waiting this entire time, and you are waiting to connect with me. And God, today I want to connect with you. I'm tired of living in turmoil, and I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of hiding. Let me close with this final thought, and then we'll pray. Went back and I looked at the story again and again, and I wonder, why is it that God appeared to him? Why Gideon? Why right now? Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, while his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. He was threshing wheat in the winepress. Do you know what that means? Wheat is what you use for bread, yes? Back to the bread. We're not leaving the bread alone, and we're going to get back to the bread next week as well. Me and Brett are really, really good friends. He's threshing the wheat because he needs sustenance. He's hungry. He's desiring. He's longing for something. And those that are hungry, God meets with those individuals. Those that are thirsty, go back and look at Genesis 16. The Lord met with Hagar by a well of water. Anytime you see a well or you see wheat, you'll see the Lord meeting with his people there. He's meeting with, because those who are blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. If your heart is hungry today, if your heart is thirsty today, the Lord wants to meet with you, but he meets with those who call upon him, those who desire him, because he won't force himself on anyone. So I pray that God causes this hunger to grow in your heart and in my heart so that we can walk with him and experience him in ways that we never have before. God, I just thank you this morning. Thank you this morning for this unexpected message, this unexpected word, Lord God. And I thank you because you want to bring peace, because you are the God of peace. You are Jehovah Shalom. To hearts that are in turmoil, to hearts that are anxious, to hearts that are concerned and overly concerned about what they see, what they can count, and what they can feel. But you are bigger than all of that. You're bigger than the tangible. And armies of 100,000 or 1,000,000 mean nothing to you. The challenges that we face are nothing before you. You can solve those in an instant. But what you want, Lord, is you want to reveal who you are to each of us. You want to cause that revelation to be real to each of us, so that we don't just know in our minds that you're the God of peace, but that we experience in our hearts that you are the God of peace. As Jesus, you stood in the middle of the storm and you said, "Peace, be still." Because you are the God of peace. God, cause each of us to experience the peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds, not being anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, making our requests made known to you, and allowing the peace of God to rule in our hearts and our minds, in our lives and our families, in this church, in this community. Jesus, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to each of us what our role is, What is it that has to be destroyed today? What relationship has to be destroyed today? What idol has to be destroyed today? What altars that we have been worshiping on has to be destroyed today? Show us, Lord God. Show us, Father. Because we do want victory inside and we want victory on the outside. God, we want you and we need you. We thank you. We're so grateful to you because you're so patient. Because you remain under the terebinth tree and you are waiting. You are waiting. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong to those who seek him. God, we thank you. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor.
more I seek you. The more I find you. The more I find you.
thank you for your love. We 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 thank you for your love.
Thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you that we can feel you and that we see you, that we can touch you, Lord Jesus, that you're here, God. God, I thank you that it's not because we're at church, it's not because we're in this building that you are here, but it's because you love us and that you can be wherever we are, God. So I pray that your presence will continue to be with us throughout our days, throughout our lives, God. Wherever we go, that we feel you. That wherever we go, that we will have you with us, God. Thank you that you want to be so close to us. Thank you that you want to have that relationship with us, Lord. We are so not worthy of it, God. But you're so beautiful. You're so gracious, God, that you want to be with us. And Lord, we are so humbled and amazed by that. God, I pray for every person in this room. I speak your presence over them. I speak joy over them. I speak peace over them in Jesus' name, that nothing in this world could hinder their faith, God, because you are so strong, and we trust you, and we thank you, God. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. We give our day to you, God. In your name I pray. Amen.